police in a standoff with a DuPont heir, another government shutdown is averted. The First Lady says she tried to help a grand jury. Good morning. This is Doug Poling with the CBS World News Roundup. A standoff continues this morning outside a mansion in suburban Philadelphia. Police sharpshooters are watching the second story at the estate of John DuPont, a 57-year-old great-great-grandson of the founder of the chemical company. It's believed DuPont is heavily armed and that he shot and killed 36-year-old Dave Schultz, an Olympic wrestler who was training on the property. Police say they don't know the motive, but Schultz's father, Philip, says of DuPont,
I think he just completely broke. His, whatever it is, with his relationship with reality, and he killed my son.
DuPont has barricaded himself inside a bedroom. One police officer says he is a marksman and he has an arsenal. It's certainly not what everybody wanted, but Congress and the president have agreed on a stopgap spending measure to avert a third government shutdown. President Clinton signed it just 3 hours before the deadline. As White House correspondent Mark Nola reports, that left the president in the mood to unwind.
Mariachi music at a reception the president attended last night seemed to match the good mood he was in.
Just a few minutes ago, the Congress passed a continuing resolution so that there's no question now of the government shutting down.
And a short time later, with less than 3 hours before the shutdown deadline, Mr. Clinton signed the bill. Even though it reduces funding for some of his pet programs, and even though some Democrats were so incensed by education budget cuts in the measure, they said they had to hold their noses to vote for it. But the president says there was bipartisan cooperation to get the bill passed, and he wants to see more of it.
Now I hope very much we can go back to work and pass all the remaining budgets for this year and pass that 7-year balanced budget in a way that is fair to all Americans.
But if that doesn't happen, the government will find itself on the verge of another partial shutdown come March 15th, when the latest short-term spending bill runs out. Mark Noller, CBS News at the White House.
A candid assessment of Republican efforts to push through sweeping budget reforms. House Speaker Newt Gingrich talking to some Atlanta business leaders last night.
Yes, we failed. And let me be clear about that. In my judgment, the effort of the last 60 days was a failure.
Gingrich blamed the press, saying the media distorted the real issues out of cynicism and mean-spiritedness. But he said congressional leaders will mount a new effort next week to come up with fresh bills on welfare, Medicaid, and Medicare reform. She spent 4 hours in front of the Whitewater grand jury yesterday. First Lady Hillary Rodham Clinton says most of the questions were about the mysterious reappearance of her law firm billing records. Barry Bagnato has more.
Whether the First Lady must appear again before the grand jury depends on what happens next in the Whitewater probe. Other White House officials involved in the sudden discovery of sought-after Rose law firm billing records were subpoenaed to testify. Mrs. Clinton continues to plead ignorance about the documents.
I, like everyone else, would like to know the answer about how those documents showed up after all these years. It would have been certainly to my advantage in trying to bring this matter to a conclusion if they had been found several years ago.
Former prosecutor Victoria Tunzing says the First Lady may have to answer more grand jury questions if her statements conflict with other testimony or if new allegations surface against her. She, like independent counsel Kenneth Starr, worked at the Justice Department under a Republican president.
It would be very bad for Ken, as a matter of politics of prosecution, to continue to call her back. I think he's probably, at most, he would get one other recall.
Over the next several days, polls should begin to indicate whether the president will continue to remain in the shadow of the Whitewater spotlight being focused on his wife. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Federal District Court, Washington.
Trial of the Century Part 2 is not even underway yet, but the preliminary skirmishing has already hit a snag.
This is David Dow in Los Angeles. The deposition of O.J. Simpson for the civil wrongful death case against him is on indefinite hold after a week of tough, meticulous questions by Daniel Petrocelli, attorney for the family of murder victim Ronald Goldman. Simpson's attorneys have called a halt because of a scheduling conflict in the coming week. Does Petrocelli see it as an intentional roadblock?
I hope not. This is a very important deposition, and he has got to come back, and we have got to complete it.
The opposing attorneys next week will discuss a date for continuing a deposition that has had its tense moments, according to participants.
There were a number of times during the deposition that Mr. Simpson expressed some deep emotion.
Did that happen today?
I think it's happened every day.
Shortly before the questioning broke off, Simpson was being grilled about the glove, cap, blood, and other evidence found near the bodies of his ex-wife and Goldman. David Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.
It's out in the open now. Allegations from insiders on what some tobacco company executives knew about the dangers of cigarettes. Jeffrey Wigand, a fired official of the Brown & Williamson Tobacco Company, was barred by his contract from making inside information public, but the Wall Street Journal yesterday printed portions of his testimony given in a deposition. CBS News correspondent and 60 Minutes co-editor Mike Wallace has been working the story for months. Wigand referred Wallace to testimony to Congress by Brown & Williamson CEO Thomas Sandifer, who said nicotine is not addictive.
I believe he perjured himself because I watched those testimonies very carefully.
Wigand says it is commonly accepted in the tobacco company that nicotine is addictive. A 45-year-old Vietnam War veteran who said he came back to Vietnam to live in peace has been sentenced to 5 years in prison. Everett Senholz from Washington State drew the penalty when a rifle and some banned books and videotapes were found in a shipment of his household goods in the port of Haiphong. Stormy weather in much of the nation. Heavy snow in eastern Nebraska and much of Iowa. Lots of cars stuck on Iowa roads, says Shane Antel of the state police.
Some are on the travel portion. Some are in the medians, in the ditches. There are just vehicles everywhere. So now it's going to be the cleanup and work with the plows so that they can start clearing the complete highway, whereas what they've been doing is just trying to keep a path open on some of the major thoroughfares.
Both teams have been there before, but the rivalry and the fan passions could not be more intense as the Dallas Cowboys face the Pittsburgh Steelers in Super Bowl 30 tomorrow. The game will be played in an aging stadium in Tempe, Arizona. The issue of old stadiums came up yesterday as we hear from newsman Joe Cox of CBS radio affiliate KFYI in Phoenix.
NFL Commissioner Paul Tagliabue used a Super Bowl news conference to reiterate the league's push to replace older stadiums, saying they're no longer adequate for fans and for teams to compete with other sports into the 21st century.
We want teams to stay where they are, and we want them to do it in suitable facilities. We've given the highest priority to strategies and plans for building stadiums in all of our existing cities where there is such a need.
Sun Devil Stadium was built in 1958 and has been upgraded over the years, but the Cardinals want a new facility, a story that Tagliabue wants on the sidelines this week.
What we're here to do in Sun Devil Stadium is play a great Super Bowl game and worry about Sun Devil Stadium's future really down the road.
Joe Cox for CBS News, Phoenix.
It is now 10 minutes past the hour.